Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
New York City is going up in flames. Literally, it's going up in flames. Pimps, Hookers, Johns, The Deuce, Season 2. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey!
There you go, Farrah. Taking me back to 1970s.
Let's get our tech buggy on. Hey guys, what's going on? It is 1977. This is not New York City, thank God. Welcome to the Deuce panel. The whole panel is here today. Hey guys, what's up? I am your girl, Nakia Monet. I'm so excited to have my whole panel here. Before we get any further, let's the panel introduce themselves.
What's going on, guys? Nate Miller here.
Hi, guys. I'm excited to be here. This is Farrah Nas Basharat.
And it's Louisa Shar here.
Hey, guys. Welcome.
Hey. Hey,
so much porn, so much penis.
Yes.
Overdoses, drugs.
So much penis.
We love
penis everywhere.
Thank you, Nate.
Penis
it was
everywhere.
Just for you. All the penis.
Oh.
Real or fake, we don't know.
What are you going
to
do?
We've yet to decide.
Yes. We're going to talk about that because that's very important.
Yes.
What's real and what's not
it's vital.
Real. Very vital. Guys, for those who are listening and watching, we also have some news and gossip. And we have a cool, we're thinking about some cool little segments, but we're going to talk about our favorite moments from this episode because this was a really good episode. But before we start, what are your overall thoughts on this episode? Nate?
I liked it a lot. We saw a lot of the plot lines that kind of were seeded in episode one kind of actually start to come to fruition and hit different, hit that second pace, hit things start to kind of keep going. That was really interesting. And again, we're like seeing these reintroductions of some of these characters and like the character growth. We're really starting to see why the time skip was so long and like what the effects of all of it are. Like, everything with her son being so old and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed it. It felt like really rewarding. It felt like a good payoff. Last few episodes have been great too. It just makes me feel really confident about the season.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yeah. Farrah, what about you?
I thought it was really sad to see the territory war between the mobsters and the parlors going up in flames, which ultimately caused a casualty, which is really disheartening and really sad to see. And it's kind of, you're starting to realize that this business really has its downfalls. And you have an innocent person's death, not only an innocent person, but a 15-year-old. So that
so
for
sad.
Me was... I thought that was a 16.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Underage, either way.
Underage. And I think that was the saddest part.
Yeah, what about you, Louise?
I mean, to add to that, I would say seeing women at the bottom of the barrel in so many ways, not only career-wise, but personal-wise, we just see them being treated so differently in these statuses. And also a positive light to the episode is we see even the pimps trying to undergo a different status in their life. You know, Cece kind of having a directorial tip. How to shoot, you know, the porn scene, and Larry trying to be a porn star. So they're all kind of getting out of their comfort zones and trying to leave this kind of pimping world behind. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to see.
Yeah, this was
how about
a,
you?
This was a really,
yeah.
I loved it. This was a really good episode. Of course, I just love seeing all the penises.
Right.
Always
yes.
My favorite. No, this was a really good episode because we get to learn a little bit more of the backstories. And, you know, this is a real, I remember I was talking to a friend about this show and I'm like, you know, this really happened 40, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not
Parlor
that long ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, parlor wars, fires, people overdosing, women prostituting, porn. Like, this was happening. It still is happening. So I love how real the show is. It was really, really good. So let's get into it. Speaking about penises and Larry, our guy Larry is getting some headshots taken because he is definitely going to start acting in some porno. And he's a little nervous because he doesn't have to only take pictures of his face. He has to take full nude photos. Nate, I know you're excited get on this one. How are you guys feeling? Well, one, I'm joking about the whole penis thing, but just to see Larry do something different and to get out of his comfort zone. How did you guys feel about that?
I thought it was great. I thought it was, for one, I think, especially with how the episodes have been getting a little bit heavier also in some points, especially this episode too. It was a great way to start and end the episode, a great bottle. And I love the character Larry and Darlene also, and like their dynamic, especially now that they're almost kind of operating as equals, and he's not being as hostile about that as like someone like Cece or Rodney is. So it's a really interesting dynamic, but I love that character in season one. He was one of the best. Like, he still is important. He's not a complete joke, but he was a source of a lot of comedic relief. So it's a great plot line for him. I think it was inevitable for one of the pimps to get their way into porn. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought the timing was great. Yeah.
It was funny. What about you guys?
I think the character swap was very interesting. He went from being the pimp who basically sold the prostitutes to kind of stepping into that almost prostitution, you know, the actor role, the porn actor role. So it was really interesting to see that dynamic. I like that he eventually started having some fun with it. And like you said, I like that it became, we were able to laugh at his jokes. And it was good to see that.
I mean, it was funny because he was so out of his zone. He was so green, the way he was posing and how he wanted to show his teeth and all that stuff. And I mean, was it real? I mean, what do you think? Like, the aesthetic of it. Listen. I mean, it was placed so perfectly, so I just don't know if...
I will say, Sarah, I think the theme...
I think it was real.
I think the theme throughout the show, I think they're all prosthetics.
Is it really?
Only because... Like, a lot of these shows, I don't see them using, like, real penises because it turns into, like, Showtime or softcore porn.
I agree with you when it comes to when they're actually physically touching that area. I don't think that's real. I don't think they could show that on HBO.
But the breasts are real.
The breasts are real. Right. The back areas are
The butt and everything. Yeah.
But also when you look at, like, I mean, to cite another HBO show, you look at, like, Game of Thrones... That wasn't her body. They used a double for that. So he's not as big of an actress as she is, but I don't know if he...
Yeah, I don't see him.
It's one thing to be like, oh yeah, there's frontal nudity in the film. It's another thing for you to just like lay out and like his bush was not large enough to like obscure any of it.
I feel like there was a lot of work.
It could be.
It's great to have a man's point of
view. It could be.
And there's not a lot of actors who go...
From a professional perspective, it seems much more likely that it would just be a prosthetic.
Yeah, because it just looked like it was just too perfect and it was laid out. And like I said, like you see shows like Sex in the City. It was.
Also,
sorry, Nate.
We don't want to go. We probably shouldn't go down there. Right?
Yeah, no. But our guy Larry, after he's taking headshots, we do see him. He is able to be on set. And he's actually starring in a porno.
Yes.
And Nate, you mentioned the dynamic with Darlene and Larry because she kind of helps him on set.
Yeah.
And she lets Eileen know, hey, he can't really read.
Yep.
So that gives Eileen the idea to let him do improv. And it actually turned into like a Shakespeare.
So good. From the moment that this was involved in the idea, it was even kind of like... hinted at that one of them would get involved in porn, I was like, yeah, it makes perfect sense because they really do have that kind of, suave attitude that is attractive. So if they can do it, it would translate perfectly. But there is that barrier of them. They're not actors. They're not. So if you can let loose that and let him be himself... That was genius.
I kind of got turned on a little bit.
Yeah, it was so authentic.
I mean, it was really cool.
It was great.
He played it really well. And also, even just the dichotomy of him trying to, like, the first time, the only reason why he couldn't do it is because he couldn't, him being an actual cool guy, was like, I would never say this. This would never work.
It will never get her there.
he couldn't comprehend it. I thought that was really cool.
It was great really
writing.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Really, really cool. Yeah. But another pimp who... is not so cool right now as our guy Cece. Mm-mm. So it's like Larry's kind of living his best life on one side of Manhattan, but the other side of Manhattan, Cece is a little jealous because his girl Lori's doing her thing. And though he had a really good idea
that was an awesome
POV
idea.
And whoever watches porn, not that I do, they have a whole POV section. So maybe
you don't watch porn.
What does POV stand for? This is so
weird. What do you mean?
Point of view.
So POV is point of view.
Research.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
So I watch porn, so I can explain.
Yeah, I mean, I watch porn too.
I think everybody watches porn.
Isn't that really bad?
Hey, everybody watches porn, but I think because of our guy CeCe, he introduced it in the 70s. I don't know if there's a real guy named CeCe, but there is a such thing as POV. He gives an idea, and his idea was shut down. And he kind of feels like, you know what, like, why am I here? Like, I'm giving ideas, I'm a pimp, there's nothing for me to do. Lori's living her best life. Do you feel like he's getting jealous,
of course.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much jealous as just he can feel his obsolescence coming. Like, he already in the last few years has had less to do, less money being made, less control in what's going on. He can see it. He can see the writing on the wall, especially with the industry growing and like the agent was telling her, like agents picking girls up and girls going out west and stuff. Like, that's to him, that's terrifying. Like, you don't. There's a reason why they haven't shown them at the train station or whatever, picking up some girl or something, because they're not doing that. They're going to do porn. They're not going to hook anymore.
Yeah.
So from like his whole way of life is endangered, and he doesn't. He's like trying to scramble. Like, well, how do I adapt to that? It's really interesting. I was surprised with how, especially with the culmination of the episode before, with just how calm his overall demeanor was.
I was shocked.
I was shocked too.
I'm like, wow, he's not gonna slap anybody.
Exactly. I was like, oh, this is where he fights the director or something.
You start to see his insecurities a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Where I think now it's a point, because like last week he was really upset she came back from LA. Now here's this other big guy that's like, no, bro, sit down. We don't need your help. He sees Lori shining. And question for you guys, do you see Lori leaving? And
she already mentally left. Absolutely. She mentally left that weird relationship. And I think the way she goes and talks to Kiki. Really? No, I
think she's thinking about it. But I think, I mean, like most toxic relationships, like she's, I don't think she's out yet. Well, I think she would have
mentally,
to be completely out.
I think
out
just
too.
A bit out before physically removing herself. That's why she goes to Kiki.
Yeah. And after experiencing that LA lifestyle, going to that hotel, seeing that beautiful view and going to that award show, I think she's getting tempted to leave.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, even to add on about CeCe, I think he sees how much money there is in porn versus pimping on the street. And he's like, hey, I have so many more ideas. There's more where this came from. So he probably might dabble into that as well and try to, I don't know if he's going to be a director, but I think he's trying to see, okay, there's more to this.
Yeah, they're all trying to. They're all trying to
predictions for that.
Yeah,
save them for the predictions. Yeah. I like that, but I like that they're, you know, trying to spread their wings and do something different because they don't know what's happening. And remember, this was what, 1977, so they don't know what's happening in 2018 yet, where porn expands and it becomes this really big thing. And I think when you know one thing your whole life and you're trying to figure something else out, where the women are independent, they're doing their thing as a pimp, you're like, wait, what am I doing? But speaking about what are we doing, Louisa. She has a message for all of the fans that are listening and watching.
Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces aftershows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works better, that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please, please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made just for you, and you will help AfterBuzz continue to grow. If you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we will thank you on air. But for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you so much. Of course. We love you guys.
my robot was on, so you know.
Thank you. We appreciate you, Louisa. Someone that we can love and appreciate, one of my favorite people, is Eileen, a.k.a. Candy. She's BDE, and for those who don't know what that means, Big Dick Energy, because she's a power player right now.
Big Dick Energy?
Yeah, Big Dick Energy.
I'm surprised that you didn't know that.
Did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Who's that supposed to be? So you know one thing about the show? There's a lot of learning going on here. Yeah. I feel like each one teach one. The word of today... BDE, Big Dick Energy.
Okay, elaborate.
So, Big Dick Energy is just an energy. It's a vibe. Yeah. It's a confidence.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
It's a confidence. It's and a confidence the women who have it, like someone like Eileen, she has that Big Dick Energy. She's swagged out. Someone like a Rihanna may have it.
It's just Beyonce.
Beyonce, I think, has BDE.
Issa Rae has BD.
It's just that swag. So
thank you for that vocabulary lesson.
You are very welcome. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you guys. But our girl Eileen, the reason I say she has BD because she's a power player. She is not in front of the cameras as much anymore. She is behind the camera and she's trying to make movies happen. She's trying to get the script made. She hires an outside writer. She's talking to Harvey like, listen, we need to go upstate to New York. We need to make this Little Red Riding Hood thing go on. But because she is a human, there's other things going on at home. Her son is now getting older, and he's now dabbling in Playboy, and I'm wearing my Playboy shirt to honor that today. And it's one of those things where it's like, and her mother kind of reminds her, like, your son is now getting older. What if he now sees what you're doing? I feel like that's what a lot of porn stars are asked today. Like, what if your kids see you? You make a sex tape. What if they find you on the internet? But like in the 70s, I guess she's thinking like, how would he see me? How do you guys feel about that moment with the whole...
I was surprised how nonchalant she was about it. The mother seemed a lot more concerned than that she was. But I know if I were in porn and my children were to one day see it, I would be shocked. I would be scared. It's something that I would definitely be concerned with. But we also live in an age now where internet and TV, it's all over the place. So maybe back then, one of the reasons she wasn't so nervous is because she didn't foresee this age where porn is everywhere and so easily accessible.
Yeah. I mean, she's so open-minded as a mother. Mm-hmm. I think she feels like, I'll tackle it when the moment comes. Like, mom, leave me alone. Let me just figure this out right now. But of course, the mom is being a bit more paranoid than her, which I totally understand as a grandmother. But I think we will see her tackle it when when the boy actually says, hey, mom, you know, what are you doing in this, in the magazine?
Yeah. That has to be tough. But I know that's a lot of thing that sex workers, they deal with. And a lot of people kind of shame them, especially when they're mothers and fathers. Yeah. The first thing people say is, what if your kids see this? And I'm like, listen, they're doing what they got to do. And I'm sure down the line, they'll explain it to their kids. But I love seeing Eileen behind the camera. I love seeing her direct Larry.
She is really educating herself with that book that she was reading. I think Harvey had mentioned, right? Something I took a screenshot so I can share. Hold up. The book was called The Uses of Enchantment, right? Nice. So she's going all in, which I love, all about knowledge and really just climbing the stairs and figuring out what she's doing.
She's becoming a boss. I love it.
Outsourcing. She's outsourcing.
That's why she's BD, yes. Big Dick BD. Energy. Becoming a boss. And I think they're all bosses in their own right. Speaking of someone else who I also think has BDE, our girl Abby. She's really, really dope. But Abby has this cool, I think, like, art show for a friend of hers named Vivian, and she introduces Vivian to her man, Vincent.
Which was not, you do not do that.
She introduces them to each other, and as we remember, I think it was last season or season one where they set these rules between them.
Those boundaries. Open that relationships. Broke my heart. Made me so sad.
But you know what? Now she's feeling the jealousy. She didn't feel it before. Even though it's an open relationship. Not with someone you're actually kind of friends with and you helped her get a gig and all that. No shame.
Could you guys ever do an open relationship?
I've considered. I think you and me talked about this. I've considered the benefits, but there's just so much negativity that comes with it too. Yeah. You don't know until you're in that situation. How about you?
Yeah, Nate.
I think it's like communism or like...
What?
Let me finish. Okay, in theory, it's a great idea if it works perfectly. Mm. It's just, it usually never works perfectly.
Got it.
That's just kind of the reality that I've experienced.
I agree. The reality you have experienced.
Yeah. So you have experienced it.
Yes.
Friends with benefits. Situationship.
That's different than open relationship. It's different.
Because open relationship, it's with two people who sit down and they have this idea.
You're in a relationship.
Yeah.
It's just not it's a just monogamous open. Relationship. Right.
And I think at the end of the day, we're all humans and we may say one thing. We may say we're not going to get attached or our feelings are not going to get hurt. But as
we always do.
And that's when we seen when Abby had that real moment. It doesn't matter how tough she is. She felt some type of way where a girl she introduced leaves the bar with her man. And
I've been really conflicted about Abby this season. I really liked, like, episode one and the whole punk stuff and where that was going. But it felt like her plotline, the most of anybody else's, has been really kind of scattered and unfocused. Yeah. And I don't know if they're leading towards something, but she's just kind of been a little bit here, a little bit there. There's, like, the feminism thing, and then there's, like, the little punk thing. But, like, she's not really doing anything. She's just like around.
But she's partnered with Ashley to
That's true.
You know, figure out this whole pimping and stuff on the streets and clean them out, don't you think?
Weren't they already doing that?
No.
And she just joined them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was her goal, though. Like, that's been her goal.
I'm not saying she's not doing anything. Yeah. I'm saying that she, like,
what's her role on the show?
What does she bring to the group?
To the show,
right. Yeah.
She's just, we haven't seen... I like Abby's character a lot. I feel like she was a much stronger character in season one. Exactly. She was very decisive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She had a lot of great lines and great dialogue because of her attitude.
Yeah.
And I feel like in this season, we've had some good spots of her, but she's been used more as of like a sprinkle for like other people's scenes.
Like a supporting actress.
Exactly. And then her own dedicated storyline. That's all I'm saying.
She's been kind of quiet this season. I know we're 3 episodes in, but I will say on this episode, we did see her a little riled up because Dorothy/Ashley is now back.
Right.
She's always been back, and now she's dedicated to being in the streets and fighting and helping these girls. And unfortunately, one of the parlors burns up in flames, and that's why I said New York City's up in flames, mm-hmm. because of the mob territory, mm-hmm. and because of this beef that they have going on, and them not checking correctly, they lose one of the girls, Kitty, a.k.a. Stephanie, and we see that Dorothy/Ashley, I call them by both their names just in case we get confused, and Abby take on this role of trying to find out who she is because she's in the morgue as Jane Doe. How are you guys feeling when Dorothy was on the ground and she got to the girl's hometown and the dad's reaction? Were you guys shocked or were you guys like, eh?
She was treated the same way. The dad treated her just like, you know, a whore, and even though she said, you know, I used to be, but here's a woman with a heart of gold that wants to really help and support these women, and he just, you know, closed the door. It was awful. Even as a father figure, how can you not want to help with the service?
Yeah,
it's just, it was narrow-minded to me to be like, okay, end of the day, she's dead.
She's a child. She's a minor, you know? They treated her like she was dispensable. I just can't see any parent treating their child that way. It was very disheartening to see that scene.
Yeah, I definitely don't agree with it. But I do think this is one of those cases where, like, just like with the porn earlier with the son, mm-hmm. like, culturally, so much has changed in the 40 years since this has happened, almost 50 years since this has happened.
Right. So you're saying it's, like, a reflection of the times.
Well, yeah, it's also just hard for us to relate to.
Right, absolutely.
Because of how we were raised and how our parents are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, again, I'm not condoning, I don't think it's right, but I wasn't surprised to hear in the 70s that's how the dad reacted to his 15-year-old daughter running away and becoming a hooker. Who knows what his politics are and, you know, in the climate of the late 70s, but... I'm just saying it made sense. Just like with the grandma, like it's very unlikely he's going to find any porn of her at that time just because of the way it circulated and how old he is and like where he lives and stuff. It's that he doesn't have the internet. But at the same time, I can understand why the grandma in the 70s, whose daughter as a full-grown woman with a son is doing porn and is now making movies and being more successful. Mm-hmm. And she's obviously conservative. Like,
yeah.
Also, I think that's why I think part of it is her being concerned about the son, but also it's the spite. Like she says, like, is it that you don't want him to see it or that you just really want to see me fail? You want to see the consequences that you said, like, this is going to happen if you do this. Like, do you just want those to come true? It's really interesting.
She also said something towards the end as a joke, as in, oh, are you going to keep the magazine? And maybe you need some good sex in your life, mom, you know?
And it shows the rebellion because remember, like, though this is the 70s, their parents grew up in the 40s and 50s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There are the rebels who grew up in the 60s and 70s where the girls are burning their bras and the kids are going off to the war and we have hippies. So it's like you have these older people who come from the 50s and the 40s and their minds are blown. Mm-hmm. Like, why are my kids doing this? Why are my kids in porn? So I definitely wasn't surprised to see. It's sad to see dad kind of shut the door and say, whatever, I don't care, and not claim her body.
Yeah.
And to see them bury her in this graveyard unmarked. But with that, Abby kind of gets a look inside of Vincent a little bit because she learns that because I don't think she knew that he had anything to do with these parlors.
Yeah.
And Bobby kind of opened that door. And she learns, not only, yes, we have these rules with this open relationship, I can't really trust you,
mm-hmm.
but now you had a part in the parlor this whole time, and you're not owning up to it when I'm asking you to own up to it. Did you guys think that he was going to own up to it in that moment when they were laying in the bed? Do you think he owes her that explanation?
I think he owes her the honesty of what he has been up to, absolutely. Because that's a lie. You're in this whole different world, and you're not telling me. And it's so funny how opposite they are with their viewpoints, though. You know? Why are you looking at me like that?
because they've been with each other for a couple years now. Like, how could she, if she didn't know what he was doing, it was willful ignorance at that point. So I don't buy the whole, like, now I'm a punk and a feminist, and now I care about what you're doing all of a sudden. Tell me what you're doing. When the mob guys have been around the bar for years.
Yeah.
Same with all of the guys that are involved in the flop houses. So, like, maybe she didn't know that he was directly involved or, like, he was in charge of it. But she should have had some type of idea. And if she cared, she should have asked or said something. Maybe that's just my opinion.
Maybe in his own mind, he doesn't really consider himself as directly involved in the business.
I would say that's probably partly true.
And I think the fire and the death shed light on how much he actually is involved in the system. And it's like, it doesn't matter what part of the pyramid you sit. You could be the mobster guys. You could be the barman or the, you know, the guard at the door at the bottom, or you could be the manager or the owner, like Vincent. Regardless of what part you are, you're somehow contributing to the downfall.
Yeah, it's very, very true. Well, speaking of someone who's not trying to be a part of all that, our guy Paul, we see that he has his business up and booming somewhat. The construction is going on, but it doesn't seem like his place is going to open soon. And though he doesn't want anything to do with the mobsters and he wants to get away from Rudy, he kind of learns that Rudy, though, remember last episode we were talking about Rudy kind of let him off a little easy, but he sends Vincent to kind of give him a message. And to Paul, he looked at that like, I knew he wasn't going to let me out this easy. How did you guys feel about that moment? Don't all jump at once, y'all. Okay.
I feel like he was being dramatic.
Yeah.
Because I don't, like, obviously, we have the benefit of seeing Mr. Piplo's actual reaction, which to me came across as pretty genuine, and he doesn't have that. But the reality of the situation is, if you're not paying for protection from somebody, you you know, someone else is going to try to get that money from you, especially at that time in New York, in the location, in that business. So I think he's being a little bit paranoid, and I'm concerned for him to, like, ascribe any type of thing that happens to Piplo and then give himself an issue that he doesn't really need to have. But aside from that, I'm really happy for them. It's just like knowing this show writer and like everything else that's happened, like it's almost like too good to be true. So I'm waiting for something bad to happen. I'm really nervous.
Yeah, I think it's a foreshadowing to what's to come when he goes off on his own. There might be something that goes wrong when he doesn't have protection from the mob guys, you know?
Yeah, I was nervous too. Well, speaking about going wrong, Frankie, everything is going wrong for him somewhat. From the last episode, it was a little unclear what was going to happen. If, you know, Mr. Piplo was going to kill him, if he was going to let him go. But we see that now he's owning and working at a cleaner's. And he does not know what he's doing.
The clothes smell and everything's so late. Yeah, he does not know.
So what do you think happened in that situation? Because I feel like the last episode, I didn't get a clear understanding of... I mean, I know that they were going to let him down, you know, nicely, but I didn't get the understanding of where this cleaner came from.
I have no idea there.
I mean, the impression I got is it's just another business that the Piplo owns, and instead of just, like, completely getting rid of him, they just moved him to a different place to be in charge of, essentially.
Gotcha.
That's how I read it.
Yeah. I was like, where did the cleaners come from? And thank God he's alive. Well, I know they weren't going to kill him, but he couldn't even run the cleaners right.
Oh, is that... No, I don't know. Because they said that an Irish guy used to own the place, but I don't know if we know, if we're supposed to know who that Irish guy is.
Right, and so I was like, where's that Irish guy?
Yeah.
There's so many questions. For the fans who are listening, if you guys know, please let us know.
Yeah, we have two very loyal fans in our chat group, Adiola and Bryce. So if you know where that dry cleaning, you know, company came from or how they recruited him, let us know.
That's really good. But speaking about the fans in the chat room, I do want to give you guys a special shout out.
Yes.
And for those who cannot visually see us, if you are listening to us yelling and talking about penis in your ears on iTunes,
yes, sorry.
please, if you can subscribe and give us 5 stars, we will greatly appreciate it. And if you leave us comments, we will give you a fan shout out. And if you're over on YouTube, make sure you guys give us a thumbs up and leave us some comments and let us know how you feel about the show so far, your favorite characters, character development, and all that good stuff. Who's your favorite pimp? Who's your favorite hooker? Who's your favorite John? And all that good stuff. But overall, you guys really like the show, right? This episode.
Yeah.
Yes. So best.
Okay, all right. Well, since you guys like this episode, a lot did happen, but we tried to break it down as best as possible. I guess we can wrap that up and get into some special segments.
Nate? Before I move on, I do want to point out, I forget his name, but Mr. Pipple's right-hand man killing the guy on the street. That's big.
Tommy.
Let's talk about it.
That's really big. I've been waiting. Like, this is why I kind of felt bad earlier, because I was going to say I've been excited for, like, the mob stuff to pop off, because it's been, like, so in the background for so long. It's been kind of discreet. Right, especially after all the buildup from season one. But I do feel bad because the 15-year-old girl died, and that really sucks. But at least we got some payback, you know? But it's... Oh, with them going into all this stuff, and now with a real... I mean, he wasn't a made man, but he was, like, rolled with them. It should get a lot more violent in the next few episodes, especially knowing that the third season's going to be the last season, and I'm assuming there's going to be another time skip. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff within the Parlor Wars to pull from.
Especially when you're killing a made man. And then we are now, at the end, we're starting to see NYPD's role in this, and how some officers want to do the right thing, but then some officers have their hand in that bag.
Right.
And we see Detective Alston kind of point that out. And he's in a place because his boss kind of wants him there, and he sees from the outside and saying, wait, this is not going to work, because half of those guys in that room are dirty, and they are the ones who are warning these people, and they know about the fire. So I'm interested to see that, because I'm into the whole mob thing.
Yeah, he's like painted into a corner.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see if he's going to actually save the day, and the killing a made man is pretty big, so, and I don't think his boss knows, Rudy, I believe that's his name, so interesting to see that, but overall, this was a really good episode.
I wanted to clarify about the dry cleaner. Adeola said Frankie actually won the cleaners in a card game.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you.
That's why we asked you guys, because there's so much happens in these shows, and you guys pay attention.
There's so many storylines.
Thank you guys. So he did win that in the bag.
Yeah,
and it looks like he gave it right. Well, he sold it back to whoever I think he wanted to, or he sold it to a new guy, because he can't take it. So we'll wait until predictions, but let's get into a segment, our favorite moment / quote of the show. Who would like to start? Louisa?
Oh, favorite moment?
Yeah.
When Larry did his authentic scene and he just did total improv, and then the female porn star totally fell for it, and she was so into it. I think that was my favorite part.
Okay, nice, fair.
I have that quote that I read. Do you guys want me to share
that? Yeah, what's your favorite quote?
That was a good quote.
So, let me just pull it up.
Pull up that screenshot. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. Okay, so the quote where Harvey Wasserman said, "I've read my fair share of Bettelheim. I am familiar with all the Freudian shit. Sex and death and, you know, annihilation of innocence and matricide and infanticide, etc. At the end of the day, it's got to be about fucking."
Amazing.
Amen.
So this was referring about the death of the 16-year-old. So that was my favorite quote.
Nice.
Tommy killing the guy at the end is my favorite for me. It just, like, there hasn't been any, like, violence or anything like that. It was so unexpected. And then his walk back to the car with the look on the guy's faces in the car, too, was, like, damn. It was
pretty really amazing. Yeah. Favorite moment of mine is actually two. One of mine is just seeing Dorothy in the street and helping the girls, and seeing that there's going to be a doctor involved now and helping them with STDs /STIs and kind of getting them off the street. But another favorite moment of mine is when Eileen is actually sitting with the young director, and he says, "We can change our names." And the reason that's one of my favorites is because I watch a lot of documentaries, and I was just actually watching the Deep Throat documentary, and a lot of big directors now were like PAs and production associate producers, and they actually started directing like a lot of pornos, but they changed their name. So I thought that was pretty cool that, like,
so cool.
David Simon put that in the show. He's like, "Wait, we don't have to put our real names." I thought that was cool. And has anyone ever seen a documentary of Deep Throat? It's pretty cool.
We actually want to add one more thing that Adeola added. Shay overdosing.
Yes.
And then going into a 21-day rehab.
28.
Yeah, so that was one part.
That was huge. Yeah. And there's a lot. It shows you the real stuff that's happening with the drugs and overdosing. And like the guy says, this is the third time this month that Shay's overdosing. And we've seen her, I believe, in season one when she was overdosing and doing hard drugs. And it shows the realization when a lot of women, not all, but some of the prostitutes would just zone out and have to be really, really high. And they didn't want to be in the moment. So I'm interested to see, like, where her character goes and if she gets and stays clean.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, knowing David Simon, it feels like it's building towards something with her character, because even in the first episode of the season, she's like, she's in the office strung out when Frankie's going to steal the money, and like, she has a line, like, there's a reason why she's there, and why we keep seeing her. So
it reminds me of that quote from the last episode when Eileen met with the famous director, and at the end she said, don't hire whores for the porn because they're dead in the eyes. Oh, that was so that amazing, hit me in the heart.
Dead around the eyes.
Dead around the eyes.
This show, man, it's a lot. It gets you all in your feels. You're excited, you're sad, you're angry, and that's why I think we love The Deuce. Well, let's get into a little bit of news and gossip.
Yeah, girl. Yeah, so TV
news. There we go.
There we go.
Go, Farrah.
So last week, you guys assumed we were...
assumed that... Harvey had worn a fat suit.
Well, I'll say, I did not assume. I'll tell you, the reason why I said that is because I was on his Instagram, and somebody tried on a fat suit, so I assumed that he had one on in season one, because he took a photo, like, in the fat suit that would have been his, so that's why.
Okay, so as all the viewers probably know, there was a drastic weight change from season one to season two. It hasn't been confirmed as to exactly why there was a weight loss, but dating back to 2013, he was having some thyroid issues. He actually, there was a cancer scare, like a thyroid cancer scare. No worries, he's cancer-free, but just a big guess, it might have had something to do with his thyroid.
So they confirmed that was his weight. His real weight.
Yeah, he just lost a bunch of weight.
His real weight. Yeah. And they basically wrote it into the show by having his wife just be very particular about his weight.
Very, very nice.
And fun fact about him, that I knew he was the elf in Santa Claus. You all know that, right?
He was the elf in Santa Claus.
I'm a little bit older, so
He's the one who gave the hot cocoa to Tim Allen.
I didn't watch the Santa Claus. I'm older, so I grew up on Adam's Family. So
we're the same age, girl.
Same. So, like, I took it back to, like, my childhood, because he was a child star. So I was like, oh, it's what's his name from the Addams Family and all the other kids' movies. But no, I didn't watch that
movie. And then a few fun facts. Because last time I was trying to figure out the actor's name from House of Cards. So Dave, who plays Dorothy's partner in crime, he was Lucas in House of Cards. So his name is Sebastian Arculus. So a fun fact there. And then Kiki is Fig on Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
And then one more, Netflix actor that's been converted to HBO. So the doctor in this episode in the suburban area, he is one of the cops in Orange is the New Black. And his name is Michael Torfey. He played Thomas Humphrey.
Nice.
Okay. So,
thanks, ladies.
Fun fact.
All right. Well, let's get into some predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz. No way. You guys have some fun stuff.
Louise is super hyped and excited.
I just love our chat group so much.
Yes, go ahead, girl. Speak on it.
So Adeola said, also Darlene reading Invisible Man on the shoot with Larry. Yes, a fellow bookworm. I love you. And then wait until season three when she reads The Color Purple. How do you know
this,
girl?
Adeola?
Do you work on the show?
Are you working on the show? Adeola, we gotta get you on. Okay.
I feel like she'd be fired.
Amazing.
Thanks for that. Well, let's get into some predictions, because we kind of, in the talk earlier, we kind of gave our predictions. Yes. Who wants to start?
I'll start. I think there's definitely going to be more deaths. Mm. We're going to see more of the negative.
Yeah, I think Cece's going to kill Lori.
No!
I'm like 90% sure.
But you know what? I can see that happening.
I think she's going to be like, you know what, Cece, I've had enough, I'm leaving, and he's going to kill her.
He's going to go crazy and kill her.
And he's going to die then, or like he's going to go to jail or something, I think.
First of all,
he's not adjusting well.
He's not. The guy who plays Cece's very hot. His name is like Gary Clark. He's British.
He's beautiful.
And he has so a British accent. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good prediction. Damn.
That was really good.
Okay. I see more beef between Abby and Vincent, because their relationship has become a little bit more straining, a little bit weirder. But I see more mob stuff, more NYPD getting involved. We're going to start to see like the dirty cops, and Olsen kind of being like the good cop and trying to figure everything out. And I think there's going to be a lot of more deaths and killings. But I would love to see more porn. I want to see Gary in more porn. That's
I
want to
see Larry.
Yeah, like, oh, Larry, sorry. Larry in more porn. And I also want to see, like, what Darlene's going to be doing, so.
Okay. Yeah, I want to see more from Darlene, too.
Mine is all of the above, so. Okay, yes. That's my prediction.
So you just concur with us.
Exactly.
Alrighty then. All right, y'all, that was a really cool episode. But before we head out, tell everybody where they can find you guys on social media.
Hey guys, you can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate.
You can find me on Instagram at Farah_Nas_B.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Louisa Shar.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom. Make sure you guys follow AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, YouTube, iTunes. Woo! Give us 5 stars and some good ratings and the thumbs up. You guys can also find us on Instagram. And make sure all the fans in the chat for the deuce hit us back and come back next week when we'll be talking about episode 4. See you guys next time.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.